إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then we were towards the end of the second fundamental principle, the servant's knowledge of his religion, the religion of Islam, with its three levels of Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And last time, and the time before, we had the first two parts of the explanation of the famous hadith of Jibreel, the proof from the Sunnah, for these three levels of the religion, the famous hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam. So we had the first part, and last week we had the second part, and in this part, Shaykh al-Fawzan explains the concluding part of this hadith. And that will form the end, the last part, of the second fundamental principle. So there occurs in the continuation on page 236 of this Lebanese print, page 183 of the Egyptian print, the continuation of the hadith, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, quoting the next part of the hadith. And the previous sentence, as a reminder, that Jibreel alayhi salam asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. And he said, Jibreel said to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inform me about the last hour. So he replied, the one who is being asked about it does not know any better than the one who is asking. Then comes the part of the hadith, today's text. قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها. He said, then inform me about its signs. He said that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. He said, then inform me about its signs. He said that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. In the explanation, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan said, he said, inform me about its signs, amaratiha. Shaykh al-Fawzan said this word, al-amarat, is the plural of amaratun, and it means al-alama, it means a sign. And as for the word al-imara, meaning with a fatha on it, amaratun, then it means a sign, and its plural is amarat. But as for the same word, but with a kasra on the beginning, on the hamza at the beginning, al-imara, then that means al-wilaya, totally different meaning. It means a position of authority or leadership. So amaratun means a sign, and imaratun means position of authority or leadership. So it just makes a distinction, so we don't confuse the two words. And he said, أخبرني عن أماراتها. Inform me about its signs. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning the signs which indicate the closeness of its establishment. Yes, As-Sa'a, the hour, has signs. And Allah, the Perfect and Most High, has explained them, has made them clear. From them are the amarat saghira, the signs which are lesser, smaller ones. And from them are major signs. And from them are the intermediate signs, in between. And from them are signs which are very close to the hour, that will occur at the time of the establishment of the hour. They will be close to its establishment. And as for the other signs, then they precede it. They come before that. I mean, some signs will be right there just before the hour actually occurs. And then there are other signs which occur before that time. The Sheikh said, the scholars, the ulama, say, the signs for the hour are of three types. Alamat saghira, lesser signs, smaller signs, which precede it, which come before it, quite some time before it. And alamat mutawassita, intermediate signs in between. And alamat kabira, and major signs. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, as for the lesser and the intermediate signs, then they have all already occurred, or most of them have occurred. As for the major signs, and he gives a list of, or he mentions four major signs, means those which occurred just before the hour actually occurs. He says, as for the major signs, the Hurud Dajjal, the appearance of the Dajjal, the emergence of the Dajjal, and the descent of Isa alayhi salam, and the Khuruj al-Dab, and the emergence of the beast, and the Khuruj, the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Then these will occur at the establishment of the hour, the actual establishment, and they will quickly follow on in succession. I mean, the major signs, when one occurs, the rest of them will follow on very quickly. And then soon after, the actual hour will be, the last hour will happen. He said, continuing with the explanation of the hadith, قَالَ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. He said, tell me about its signs. The Sheikh said, and since its signs are known, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, answered him and said, and talid al amatu rabbataha, that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. This is from the signs of the hour. And al ama means al mamluka, a slave girl who is owned. And Rabbataha means Sayyidatuha, her female owner, her mistress, her female owner. So it's a slave girl, a girl who is owned, a slave, female slave who is owned, giving birth to Rabbataha, her mistress, meaning her owner, her female owner. So the Sheikh is making the point here, that mean the last part that we had, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, when is the hour? He did not know, so he didn't answer. He said, the one who is being asked does not know any better than the one who is asking. But this part, when he was asked, tell me about its signs, he did answer this. So the Shaykh said, this was something known, so therefore the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded to this question, gave an answer, that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. Then the continuation of the text, continuation of the hadith, وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ. And that you will see the barefoot, unclothed, destitute shepherds vying with each other in building tall buildings. Sheikh Fawzan said in explanation, the explainers said, its meaning is, and he explains here, first of all he explains the bit that just preceded, the part about the slave girl giving birth to her mistress. Sheikh Fawzan said, the explainers said, its meaning, and Allah knows best, is that towards the end of time, there will be many captives or slaves taken. Meaning, there will be many occurrences of intercourse with slave girls. meaning the owned slave girls. And then they will give birth to daughters. And the woman, the slave girl's daughter, the woman who is a slave girl, her daughter will be a free woman. And she will be a mistress to her mother and an owner of her. That's the first explanation Sheikh Fawzan mentions from the scholars for the part of the hadith, that from the signs of the hour is that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. Sheikh Fawzan saying the first explanation is that at the end of time there will be many captives taken by Islam, and that a man, a Muslim man, will take a slave girl, then he will have a daughter from her. Of course, the daughter, because he's a free man, his daughter will be free, as they explained as mentioned. He's a man who's taken a slave girl. She's owned by him. The daughter that comes from that will be a free woman. So she will be a free woman, whereas her mother is a slave. So she'll be an actual mistress to her mother. Then Sheikh Fawzan mentions the second explanation of the scholars to this phrase. He said, and it is also said, its meaning is that disobedience to parents will be abundant, so that the daughter will act as if she is a mistress to her mother. And she'll act like that. She'll treat her mother like a slave. Just on that point, as an extra point here, then Sheikh Muhammad Aman Al-Jami, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his explanation that the scholars have seven different sayings. Sheikh Fawzan mentioned the two most well-known sayings of the scholars here. Sheikh Muhammad Aman, rahimahullah, he mentions the scholars actually have seven different sayings about the meaning of this phrase. And he said, however, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, in Fathul Bari, he abridges these seven into four sayings. And from those four, he gives prominence, of course, to these two. And he said, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he preferred the view that the meaning is disobedience to parents, that the daughters will disobey their mothers. Disobedience will appear. And the reason that he gave that is because he said Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to explain something strange that was unknown to the people in the early times, something strange that will occur at the end of time, something that's strange, so that when it happens they can see it as a sign, something not known normally to them. So he said, as for taking many slave girls and having daughters from them, then this was known even in the early part of Islam. So therefore, it's preferable, in the view of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, that is not the meaning here. Rather, that the meaning is something strange, that the daughters disobeying their mothers, being disobedient towards them. This was not known in the early times, but it's something that will occur towards the end of time, and thus be a sign for the end of time. Wallahu a'lam. Back to the explanation of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, with regard to the phrase, and that you will see the barefoot, unclothed, destitute shepherds vying with each other to build tall buildings, he said. وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتِ, and that you will see the hufat, the barefoot people. He said, this is a second sign. And the word al-hufat, he said, it means those who have no shoes because of poverty and destitution, being extremely poor and needy. And the word al-urat, the naked ones, the unclothed ones, he said, those who do not have clothing. And the word al-ala, he said, means al-fuqara, the poor and needy people. And the phrase ri'a'asha, the shepherds of sheep, he said, it is the plural of ra'in, the plural of shepherd. Those who look after the sheep, those who shepherd the sheep. In origin, those people are found in the desert areas, in their own dwellings, and they move about from one place to another. But at the end of time, they will take up residence in the cities, and they will build tall palaces and towering buildings. This is from the signs of the hour. When the desert changes and becomes modern cities. Desert people, they change and they become modern. And they start to vie with each other in building tall buildings. And they compete with each other in adorning them. And this was not from their customary way. They will change to being rich people, having wealth, and people who manifest it. People who manifest what they have. This is from the signs of the hour. And as you know, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did not speak from his own desires. So just as you know, today, you know how the condition of the people is. People's conditions have changed, and the poor people have turned into rich people, into people having vast riches. And the desert has become modernized. The desert people have become modernized. And they have built, or they have competed in building buildings, tall buildings. And this is in confirmation of the truth of what Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said. Then comes the continuation and the end of the hadith. قال فمضى فلبثنا مليا فقال يا عمر أتدري من السائل قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم أمر دينكم. He said, then he went away. And we remained for some time. So then he said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, this was Jibreel. He came to you to teach you the matter of your religion. He came to you to teach you the affair of your religion. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, قَالَ ثُمَّ خَرَجَ وَلَبِثْنَا مَلِيًّا. He said, then he went off, and we remained for some time. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning for a short time. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَا عُمَرْ أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلْ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? The Shaykh said, do you know, you people, do you know who the questioner was? And in one narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, عَلَيَّ بِالرَّجُلِ. In one narration of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, bring the man to me. And when he had gone off, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, bring the man to me. So they looked for him, and they could not find him. In a footnote, they mention this additional wording here, bring the man to me, and that they looked and couldn't find him. This is reported by An-Nasa'i in his Sunan al-Kubra. An-Nasa'i has two books called As-Sunan. He has the normal one, the one that's usual in the one, the Sunan from the four Sunan. That's the Al-Mujtaba, the smaller Sunan, and he has a larger book, As-Sunan al-Kubra. This is in the larger one, As-Sunan al-Kubra, as a hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and also reported by Ibn Hibban and Ad-Darqutni as a hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. As a side point, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he said in his checking of Ibn Hibban about this longer wording with this addition, it is sahih, authentic. In the same hadith, the long hadith of Jibreel, but with this additional wording, bring the man to me. And they looked and couldn't find him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, قال هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم أمر دينكم. He said, this was Jibreel. He came to teach you your religion. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the one who entered and asked these questions was Jibreel, alayhi salam. And he came in the form of a man, just as was described, in order to teach those who are present the affairs of their religion in the manner of question and answer. He teach them by asking question and receiving an answer. Then Sheikh Fawzan, he summarizes this whole hadith in this section by saying, or this hadith, with a part of the hadith, he said, this hadith shows a number of tremendous matters, proves a number of tremendous matters. And then Sheikh Fawzan, he mentions five matters that are indicated by this hadith. Firstly, that the deen, the religion, is divided into three levels: Islam and Iman and Ihsan, each level being higher than the one before it, and that each level has pillars, arkan. The pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman, and Ihsan is a single pillar. The second matter, the second tremendous matter indicated by this hadith, the Shaykh said, it shows teaching by way of questions and answers. And this is a teaching method which succeeds, because it is better for arousing attention and conveying knowledge if the person is questioned and his mind is therefore made ready and he seeks the answer. He's asked a question and his mind starts thinking, getting ready for the answer to come. So he seeks the response, he seeks the answer. Then he gives the answer to him. And he is desiring it. This will establish it more firmly. Instead of just telling, in other words, the Shaykh is saying, instead of just telling the student in the first place, such and such, giving a piece of information, raising a question in his mind, what do you think, what is the answer to such and such, what is it? So then in his mind he wants the answer, what is the answer to that? So he's waiting, and then you give him the answer. Then he will accept it better, and it will be more firmly established. Then the Shaykh said, the third matter, in the hadith there is a proof that whoever is asked about some knowledge and he does not know, then it is upon him to say, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his messenger know best. He should refer knowledge back to the one who knows it. So he should not speak with an answer when he does not know it. And he should not make a guess. This is not permissible. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was asked about the hour, he said, the one who is being asked about it knows no better than the one who is asking. And when he said to the companions, do you know who the questioner was? And they did not know him. They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his messenger know best. The Shaykh said, so that shows that with regard to matters relating to the shara', the Islamic legislation, and matters of the religion, it is not permissible to speak about them based upon takharrus, based upon conjecture, thinking and guessing. Not permissible to speak about them based upon conjecture, because this will be a case of takalluf. This will be a case of unnecessarily overburdening oneself. However, whoever has knowledge, then he should respond. And whoever does not have knowledge, ilm, then he should say, Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. And whoever says, La adri, I do not know, then he has given a response. There's no shame in a person asked a question about the deen, you don't know the answer, in replying, I don't know. It's not as if you haven't responded. Look, you haven't responded to me. You have responded. You've responded truthfully with a correct answer. I do not know. And the Shaykh gives an example from the Salaf for this. He said, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he was asked a question. He was asked about 40 questions. And he gave an answer to 6 of them. And with regard to the rest, he said, La adri, I do not know. So the questioner said to him, I have come from such and such place, and I have travelled, and I have tired out my riding animal. And then you say, I do not know? So he said, ride your animal, and go back to the land which you came from, and say, I asked Malik, and he said, La adri, I do not know. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is not a defect, it's not an aib, it's not a defect or something you should be ashamed of. He said, this is not a defect, that when a person does not know the answer regarding matters of the religion, matters of the Islamic legislation, that he should say, La adri, I do not know. Even if he is an alim, even if he is a scholar, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il." The one who is being asked about it knows no better than the one who is asking. And he said, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked certain questions, and he did not possess revelation from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, then he would wait until revelation descended from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Do you not recite, Yas'alunaka an katha, Yas'alunaka an katha? Shaykh is saying, don't you recite in the Quran a number of times? They ask you, with the meaning, they ask you about such and such. They ask you about such and such. Qul. Then the answer came down, would come down afterwards. Then say such and such. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, he quotes two examples of that. The first one, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 219, with the explanation, they ask you about intoxicants and about gambling. Say, in them is a great sin. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second example, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. Surah Al-Baqarah again, second surah, ayah 189. With the explanation that they ask you about the crescent moons. Say, they are signs to mark time periods for the people and for the Hajj. Just a small side point here. Then you'll find 15 of such questions occurring in the Quran. 7 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Then the rest throughout different surahs. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ They ask you, with the meaning, they ask you about such and such. Then the response, such and such. The Shaykh said, so the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was asked a question, and he did not have an answer, he would wait until revelation came down to him from Allah. So that should be even more the case with anyone else besides him. He should wait until he asks someone else, or until he researches the matter in the books of the people of knowledge, to attain the answer. But as for being hasty, then this is extremely dangerous. And it contains showing bad manners towards Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Since the one who gives an answer, he is answering about Allah's legislation. He is saying, Allah has made such and such permissible, or he has made such and such forbidden, or he has legislated such and such. So the matter is extremely dangerous. Our Sheikh is making an important point that we should need to bear in mind when we speak about the deen. We say, as soon as somebody asks a question, we just say, oh, that's haram, or that's halal, or whatever. We should be aware of what we're saying. Before we say it, we should be aware of what we're saying. And therefore, make sure that we have an evidence for that. So if you say about the deen, in the deen it's like this, permissible, in the deen it's forbidden, such and such, then what you're actually saying is, Allah has made this thing forbidden. Allah has made this thing lawful. Or Allah has legislated this thing. Whatever wording you use for it, that's what you're actually saying about the deen. So in other words, you should be careful. As the Sheikh said, the matter is فيه خطورة جدا. It's extremely dangerous. Then the fourth matter the Sheikh mentioned, fourth important matter from this hadith, he said the fourth matter, the hadith contains a proof for the manners of the student. So Jibreel, he was the noblest one of the angels. He sat in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he placed his knees against the knees of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he placed his hands upon his thighs, and he asked with good manners. This was in order to teach the people the manners which they should adopt towards the scholars. The Sheikh said, this is a part of what the hadith indicates. The hadith contains many benefits. And it also contains, and these are just some of the major benefits in the hadith. And he mentions a further one. He said, and it contains the fifth matter, and it is an explanation of some of the signs of the hour. He mentioned two signs, that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress. And some of the scholars say its meaning is that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, that disobedience, uquq, disobedience, bad treatment towards the parents, will be frequent at the end of time. So that the daughter becomes as if she is a mistress, one in charge of her mother, commanding her and forbidding her and being stern with her. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And then what follows is the third and last of the three fundamental principles. We'll start with that next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.